important thing for Christians to be able to understand, to get to, and to accomplish in their lives. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to listen. Thank you again, Father, for those who would be faithful on January 1st to be in church, even though they might have been up late last night, even though they might have had things going on, that they would still give you the preeminence in their life. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in Luke chapter number 2, and I'm not actually going to be preaching through the rest of the chapter there, but I wanted you to see a few things in Luke. Actually, go back just real quickly to Luke chapter number 1, and let me give you this kind of by way of introduction. Obviously, today is the very first day of the year, 2012, and today we're starting a new year, and usually around this time, people set New Year's goals or New Year's resolutions. Now, sadly, in our society, most people do not accomplish these goals and do not accomplish their resolutions. And that's actually become kind of a joke in our society where, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to start, you know, and it'll last like a couple days, if that. And then people just forget about it. Now, growing up in church, I've actually heard pastors preach against New Year's goals or New Year's resolutions. I don't really understand that. And I listened very intently whenever they spoke against it to see if there was a reason for it, if they could give me a Bible verse as to why maybe that would be bad. And it always just seemed like it was kind of their opinion, so I just kind of... I personally think setting goals and maybe you don't want to use the word resolution or whatever, there's nothing wrong with the word resolution, but I like to use the word goal, setting a New Year's goal or a goal for the new year. I think that's a good thing. And I think we as Christians ought to have that mentality. You know, last night at the New Year's Eve service, we gave a little challenge. We were talking about how the new year is ending and how God's the one who gave us the stars and the moon and the sun, and He gave them as signs for the seasons and for days and for years, and how He wants us to be able to close a year and begin a new year. We saw there in Lamentations how it said, His mercies are new every day, great is Thy faithfulness. And I believe God wants us to be able to say, a day has ended and a new day will begin. A year has ended, a new year. And I think it's good to start the new year with some goals, with some desires, some things that you'd like to do. Now, if you look there in Luke chapter number, we read Luke 1, but go to Luke chapter number 1, look at verse number 80. This is why I believe goals are a good thing. If you look at Luke chapter number 1 and verse 80. Now, verse 80 in Luke 1 is referring to, can't you wait till you get to Luke 1 in your 9 chapters, 80 verses. But that's alright, you'll learn something. Luke chapter number 1, look at verse 80. This verse is referring to John the Baptist when he was a child. I don't know, we've talked about this before, but John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ were cousins. And in Luke 1:80, the Bible says about John the Baptist, it says, and the child grew. And I want you to say, that's talking about his physical growth. He was growing as a child. But look what it says, and waxed strong in spirit. Do you see that? And was in the deserts till the days of his showing unto Israel. That's John the Baptist. The Bible said he grew physically. But it also tells us spiritually, he waxed strong in spirit. So as he was growing physically, he was getting stronger spiritually. And then it tells us there of the famous Bible college that John the Baptist went to. It says, and was in the desert till the days of his showing unto Israel. I always like to mention that. You say, what was his showing unto Israel? That's when he went out and started his ministry. Say, where was he up until the moment he began his preaching ministry to Israel? In the desert. Same place that Paul was, the deserts of Arabia. Same place that Moses went in the backside of the desert. Same place, it seems like all the men of God get trained. Not in a Bible college, but being out in the wilderness alone with God. That's where he was getting trained. But I want you to see, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. You're there, go to Luke chapter number 2, look at verse 40. Look at what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost the same verse, but a different person. That was John the Baptist. Now we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 2, look at verse 30, the Bible says this, and the child, referring to Jesus, grew, look what it says, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Do you see that? So the Lord Jesus Christ grew physically, but he also was getting stronger. He waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Look at verse 52, the same chapter. Chapter number 2, look at verse 52, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ again. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Stature is talking about his height, talking about his physical growth. It said he increased, number one, in wisdom and stature physically, And look what it says. He increased and in favor with God and man. So the Lord Jesus Christ was growing physically, but he was also growing in wisdom. He was growing in favor with God and man. It tells us he was waxing strong in spirit. It tells us John the Baptist was waxing strong in spirit. And here's what you got to understand. I believe that the life of a Christian is this. Every day you ought to be growing. You say, are we growing physically? No. Well, I mean, you may. I don't know. You know, if you're a child or something. But I'm talking about your spiritual life. You ought to be waxing strong every day. You ought to be increasing in wisdom every day. You ought to be increasing in favor with God and man every day. And this is why I believe New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals are a good thing, because anything, you know, usually when someone sets a goal for a New Year, it's to better themselves. I don't think anybody goes into the New Year saying, my New Year's goal for this year is to lose my job and lose my house in bankruptcy. Nobody says that, you know? Nobody says, this year I think I'm going to get addicted to heroin. You know, usually when you have a New Year's goal, you're trying to better yourself. And even as a Christian, you got to have goals to try to better and strengthen and grow yourself spiritually. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to have a New Year's goal. I have New Year's goals. I have many New Year's goals. But I want to preach to you this morning and just kind of teach you, and it doesn't have to be very long this morning, but I want you to understand a few things. I want to teach you from the Bible how you can not only just have a goal, but I want you to accomplish that goal. I want you to be able to actually, when the year ends, to be able to say, wow, I finished that goal. I got that accomplished. Not just kind of like, oh yeah, I wanted to do that, and then 3 days into the new year, I forgot about it. I want you to be able to understand how to have a New Year's goal, or how to have a goal and accomplish it, and give you some biblical principles. So let's go ahead and get started. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs in your Old Testament, right after the book of Psalms, Proverbs 29. And look at verse number 18. Proverbs 29:18. And this morning might not be as, you know, just kind of hard-hitting type sermon. It's going to be a lot of just, but a lot of stuff that if you really listen and focus, it'll change your life. It'll change the way you accomplish things. Proverbs chapter number 29. Look at verse number 18. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, very famous verse in the Bible. Proverbs 29:18. The Bible says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's read that again. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Do you see that? That's a great verse there. And we apply that verse there often to like soul winning and stuff like that. And we should. That's a great verse there. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we understand the word perish. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he's saying there, you know, where there is no vision. The word vision is talking about what you see. Now, we could be talking about what you see physically, but we could also be talking about what you see as a dream. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, our church has a vision to see the lost come to Christ. But you know, if you're going to have a year, and by the way, here's really what I'm trying to preach to you this morning. Here's the title of the sermon, Making the Most of the New Year. Making the Most of the New Year. Not wasting this new year. And to say, how do I get the most, Pastor, out of this new year? Here's where you gotta start. You gotta start with a vision. You gotta start with a vision. The word vision means something seen or perceived. A dream. Something, you know, when you close your eyes, and you don't have to do that, you know, right now, but I often do this. I know maybe it sounds weird or whatever, but I often will be sitting somewhere by myself, or maybe I'm driving. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not driving. But I'll be somewhere, and I'll close my eyes, and I'll think to myself, where do I see myself, or how do I see myself in 6 months, in 1 year? I often do that for our church. I'll close my eyes and think to myself, where do I see Verity Baptist Church at the end of 2012? And that's where you must start. You got to close, you know, close your eyes or just close your mind's eyes and think to yourself, where do I see myself? This time next year, January 1st, 2013, how do I see myself? How do I see my life? How do I see my ministry? How do I see my children? Where, you know, you got to start with a vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Now that word perish there, we can definitely use that to be talking about people dying and going to hell. Because the Bible uses that word in John 3:16 to talk about perish. But you know, the word perish also has a different definition. The word perish also means this: subject to decay or ruin. You ever heard of this? You ever seen, you know, like milk or something? Or have it'll say on it, perishable item. The word perish means that it could be wasted. Does that make sense? You can get a thing of milk or some sort of perishable item, and if you don't take care of it properly, you know, you leave it out on the counter, it'll perish, meaning it'll get wasted, it'll get decayed, it'll get destroyed. And you know, we can use this verse here and apply it this way: where there is no vision, the people perish. Could also mean this: where there's no vision, people's lives are wasted. People will waste their, and this is the problem with our society today, especially young people in our society. They go through life just mindlessly walking through their life with no vision, no goal, no agenda. They don't really have anything they're trying to accomplish. They don't really see themselves anywhere. All they're worried about is the next video game, the next movie that's coming out, the next party they're going to go to, and they're just going through life. And here's what they're doing: they're wasting their lives. And they grow up, you know, and they wake up, you know, to be a 39-year-old man, or 40-year-old man, or 50-year-old man, and they think, well, what have I done with my life? And you say, well, what happened? Here's what happened. They had no vision. They had no direction. And if you're going to do something, if you're going to accomplish something in 2012, you know, before the world ends, I hope you don't believe that. But if you're going to do something, you got to start with a vision. Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Your life will be wasted if you have no vision. Your life will be wasted if you don't. You know, you gotta close your eyes and just envision yourself, envision your family, envision your ministry, envision, you know, your finances, envision your job, and think, where do I want to be this time next year? How do I see myself? But see, here's the thing. It takes more than just a vision. Visions are nice. I don't have to really explain to you a vision very much. The average person has a vision, has a dream. The average person, they have a dream. I see myself somewhere, you know. But here's the disconnect. And here's where it starts getting a little difficult. The average person has a vision, but they do nothing to try to accomplish that vision. The average person says, I'd like to make $100,000 next year, but they don't do anything about it. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying that ought to be a goal, but if that's a goal... If you're going to be someone who is going to make the most out of this new year, you must start with a vision. Because the vision is going to encourage you. The vision is going to motivate you. The vision is, this is where I see myself. But you got to take this next step where you turn your vision into a mission. Say, what are you talking about? A vision is where you see yourself. A dream. A mission, the definition of a mission is this: an operation or a task to be accomplished. Often used in military lingo. We had a mission to go, you know. Here's the difference between a vision and a mission. A vision is this: we like to stop terrorism. A mission is this: we want to kill bin Laden. Does that make sense? Just to put it in. A mission is actually you're doing. A vision is something you see, something you'd like to accomplish. A mission is something you do. A mission, a vision is where you see yourself. A mission is what you do to accomplish that. You must turn your dream, your vision, I see myself in this way, and turn that into a mission where you're actually trying to accomplish something. Most people have a dream. That's no problem. Talk to children. Talk to children. I'm not, you know, kids are kids. But talk, kids, you ask the child, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do they say? I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a cowboy. You ask my son Joshua, what do you want to do when you grow up? He says, I want to be three things when I grow up. I want to be a fireman, a taxi driver, and a pastor. And I say, man, you're going to be busy. Because he thinks those are three cool things, I guess. You know, but here's the thing. You would ask me when I was a kid, I would say, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a lawyer. But then, you know, that's a vision. But then how many of us actually do that? You know what I'm saying? See, some people actually, you know, some kids will say, I want to be a president when I grow up, and they'll actually become the president. Now, all kids will say, I want to be president when I grow up, but most of them won't. You say, what's the difference? It's the vision never turned into a mission. You know what I mean? And I'm not bad-mouthing children. Obviously, it's good for them to dream. That's no problem. I don't even want my kids to be the president of the United States. You say, why do you want them to be the president? Because I want them to have an honest job. I want them to work hard, you know, to not lie and be a politician or something. But, you know, Your vision must turn into your mission. I know this sounds very, very basic, but you'd be surprised how many people don't understand these principles. Take your dream and decide, I'm not going to just be a dream anymore. I'm actually going to accomplish tasks to do it. See, when you're in the military and you're performing a mission, you start gathering logistics. You start gathering information. You start making plans to accomplish the vision. Say, how do we accomplish a mission? Missions are accomplished through goals. Missions are accomplished through goals. And I don't... Let me be very honest with you. I don't want to be very long this morning. I understand. I thank you for your faithfulness to church. But, you know, you were probably up late last night. So I don't want to keep you too... I purposely am trying to not keep you too late this morning. Because I want you to go home and take a nap and be ready for Soul Winning 101 tonight. All right? So, but here's... You say, how do I accomplish my mission? You know, we said number one, you start with a vision. We said number two, turn your vision into a mission. But number three, your mission is accomplished through goals. One of the secrets of highly effective people is that they are goal-oriented. You understand that? One of the secrets of highly effective people is that they are goal-oriented. Go talk to the average millionaire in the United States of America, and they live their life off a to-do list. They live their life off of a goal list. They have things they're trying to accomplish. Your mission is accomplished through goals. Let me read for you a quote. J.C. Penney. You ever heard of him? I think he started a real famous company called J.C. Penney's. Hopefully you've heard of that. But he said this, give me a stock clerk with a goal, and I will give you a man who will make history. Give me a man without a goal, and I will give you a stock clerk. That's a very good quote. I like that. He says, you know, give me some average guy, and he's got a goal. That guy's going somewhere. He'll make history. But give me some guy that has no goals, he's just going to be a stock clerk. Missions are accomplished through goals. You start with a vision, you turn that into a mission, and you accomplish your mission through goals. Now let me teach you a few things about goals. Well, actually let me show you something real quick. Go with me to Philippians chapter number 3. In your New Testament, Philippians chapter number 3. Setting and finishing goals helps you become an accomplished and successful person. Setting and finishing goals helps you become an accomplished and successful person. We said earlier that one of the secrets of highly effective people is that they are goal-oriented. Philippians chapter number 3, look at verse number 13. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said. We've seen those verses before, very famous verses, but I'd like you to see what he said. Philippians chapter number 3, look at verse number 13. The Bible says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I want you to look at verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice the first phrase of Philippians 3:14 says this, I press toward the mark. You know what that means? He's saying, the word mark there, the analogy that he's using, he's using the analogy of a bow and arrow. And you know how you have a bow and arrow and you have a target? You know what I'm talking about? You have something you're trying to hit, that's the mark. The word mark means a target. And Paul said, brethren, he said, I count myself to have apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward into those things which are before, he says this, he says, I press toward the mark. Here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, my life is not lived without direction. He's saying, my life is not lived just day by day. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, just whatever time I happen to roll out of bed, and then I'm going to see whatever I'm going to do. He said, Paul didn't live his life like that. He said, I have a mark. He said, I have somewhere I'm trying to hit. He said, I've got a direction. I've got a goal. I'm going somewhere. And he said, he said, I've got a goal. See, highly effective people are goal-oriented. Tell me of a more successful missionary, pastor, or preacher who has ever lived, obviously other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who was more successful and had more and accomplished more in their life than the Apostle Paul. You can't find it. If you're saved this morning, and you're not a Jew, you know, physically, you're saved because of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You say, why is that? And can you imagine how many... How many people, how many rewards the Apostle Paul's going to get in heaven? Because virtually everyone in the entire world, other than the Jews that are saved because one man said, I press toward the mark. And if you study the Apostle Paul, study the writings of the Apostle Paul. As you're reading through your 9 chapters today, and you start getting into those epistles written by Paul, watch him as he's constantly saying, I'm going to do this. He said, I'm going to Spain. He said, I'm going to Rome. He said, I'm going to Corinth. He said, I'm going to come this way, and I'm going to do this. And he's constantly telling people, hey, this is what, why? Because he wasn't living his life just like, oh, well, I just don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. Guess we'll just kind of wake up and see what happens. He said, every day I had an agenda. Every day I had a mark I was trying to hit. He kept himself busy. He had a goal. Setting and finishing goals will help you be accomplished and successful. And you ought to, I believe you ought to set goals for different areas of your life. Especially starting in the new year, you ought to sit down and figure out some goals for your life. You say, I don't really know what goals to set. Let me give you a few ideas of, goal, of areas in your life you can set goals to. Number one, you can set spiritual goals for your spiritual life. Waxing stronger in spirit. Number two, you can set physical goals for your physical life, your health. Number three, you can set financial goals for your finances, your money. Number four, you can set goals for your career. Number five, you can set intellectual goals. Number six, you can set family goals. Number seven, you can set social goals. Number eight, you can set ministry goals. I have a goal for 2012 for every one of those areas. Except social. I don't really care about social. That's not my thing. No. Maybe I'll try to figure out a goal out for social. Be nicer. Something like that. That's not a good goal. And I'll explain to you why that's not a good goal in a second. But those are areas in your life. I just gave you 8 areas in your life you could set goals for. And you don't have to set goals for all of them, but you should set goals for some of them. Spiritual life. Physical life. Financial life. Career. Intellectual. Family. Social. Ministry. Those are areas in your life where you got to sit down and think, okay, in my spiritual life, where do I see myself spiritually in 2012? You know, this ought not be said of you. I started the year being a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, reading my Bible Christian. I ended up my year coming to church maybe every other Sunday morning. That's not good. Do you understand that? You got to have a spiritual way that I'm going to get better. I'm going to get more powerful. I'm going to get more spiritual. I'm going to grow more. That would be your goal. Amen. Physical goal. You got to think, you know, I have physical goals. I have goals, you know, I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I have physical goals of my health and things I'd like to do in the new year. I have some financial goals for 2012. Some career goals for 2012. I got some intellectual goals for 2012. And I'll give you an example of an intellectual goal. I want to read more books. I love reading. I'm not very good at it, but I like reading. I like learning, you know, and I'm always constantly trying to be reading. Obviously, I'm always reading my Bible, but I try to have a book that I'm always reading, you know, just non-spiritual, just something about business or history or something like that. And I have a goal for this year, me personally, to read more books. Because I want to be smarter. I want to learn more, you know. You can have intellectual goals. You can have a goal to maybe learn a language. You can have a goal, whatever it is. Have a family goal. You ought to have a family goal. The Bible tells us, and I won't turn there, but the Bible tells us that children are as arrows in the hands of a man. And you ought to have a goal where you're aiming them towards a mark and trying to push them. You ought to have social goals and ministry goals. Now let's talk about how to properly set goals. And this is probably the most important part of the sermon right here. How to properly set goals. Because people do not understand this concept of setting goals. And improperly set goals are goals that will not be accomplished. Goals that are not set properly are goals that will not be accomplished. I want to give you just a few things to think about when it comes to setting goals. Number one, goals should be specific. Goals should be specific. I've read in the past before articles, the number one New Year's resolution in the United States of America is losing weight. That's the number one resolution, by and large, by people in our society. But here's the difference between a goal, and by the way, most people fail at that goal. And let me explain to you why. Goals, number one, goals should be specific. Here's the difference. This is the difference between a specific goal and an unspecific goal. The average person goes into the New Year saying this, my New Year's resolution is to lose weight. Okay. A specific goal is this, my New Year's resolution is to lose 30 pounds. You see the difference? Goals ought to be specific. It's easy to say, I want to lose weight. It's specific to say, I want to lose 30 pounds. It's easy to say, I want to read more of my Bible. It's specific to say, I'm going to read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. I'm going to read the New Testament. It's specific to say, I'm going to read my Bible cover to cover. Does that make, do you understand what I'm saying? It's easy, you know, people, the number two goal for New Year's resolution, finances. It's easy to say, I'm going through the year, I'm going to get better at my finances. But it's specific to say, I'm going in the new year, I'm going to get out of debt. Does that make sense? Or I'm going to save for an emergency fund. You know, it's either that I'm going to pay off my $5,000 credit card, or I'm going to save $20,000 this year, or I'm, you know, whatever that is. You know, if you go into just the New Year saying, I'm going to get better at finances, you're not going to get better at finances. Period. But if you go into the New Year saying, I'm going to save $20,000 this year, you might save that $20,000. Or if you go into the year, I'm going to pay off my $16,000 car, or I'm going to buy a new vehicle, or whatever it is, and I'm going to pay cash for it, whatever. Goals must be specific. Goals will not be reached when they are just general. I want to lose weight? No. I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to read more of the Bible. No. I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover. I said number one, goals should be specific. Number two, go with me to Ephesians. You're there in Philippians. Go with me to Ephesians, just right before the book of Philippians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 15. Ephesians chapter number 5, look at verse 15. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:15 says this. Ephesians 5:15 says, it's the verse we have in the bulletin. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Look at verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The Bible says redeeming the time. The word redeem there has an idea of purchasing. Has an idea, you know, I'm going to redeem that item. You know, we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible says. Redeeming has this idea of value. And the Bible says redeeming the time. You know what that tells me? That God puts a value on time. And you ought to purchase that time back. You ought to redeem that time. You ought to make good use of that time. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We said number one, under how to properly set goals, we said number one, goals should be specific. Number two, goals should have a time limit. Goals should have a time limit. Not only should goals be specific, they should have a time limit. See, what are you talking about? This is the difference between I want to lose 30 pounds and I want to lose 30 pounds in 3 months. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? That's the difference between I'm going to read my Bible cover to cover and I'm going to read my Bible cover to cover this year. Does that make sense? This is the difference between I'm going to get out of debt and I'm going to get out of debt in the next 36 months. Goals should have a time limit. A goal with no time limit will fade into time. You'll just forget about it. Just saying, I'm going to lose 30 pounds will accomplish nothing. But if you say, I will lose 30 pounds in 3 months, now you've got a time, now you've got a frame to start working with. Okay? Goals, we said number one, should be specific. Number two, they should have a time limit. Number three, goals should be written down. Goals should be written down. Go with me to Habakkuk. In your Old Testament there, the Old Testament prophets, Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Got Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Did I skip it? Where did it go? Yeah, I know. I'm Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There we go. Habakkuk, chapter number 2. Look at verse 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2, look at verse 2. The Bible says this, and the Lord answered me and said,
Look what he says.
Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Do you see that? Now, we understand that the context here is talking about the vision that God gave him. We understand that. But I want you to see that God told him this. Write the vision. He said, I gave you a vision. I want you to write it down. And he said, when you write it down, I want you to make it plain. Goals, your vision, what you're trying to accomplish, ought to be written down. Say, why is that? Well, for a few reasons. First of all, there's something different. There's something different about just in your own mind saying, "I want this is what I want to accomplish," and then actually putting it down on paper. But also putting it down on paper does this. You can keep that. And throughout the year, throughout the days, pull that out and look at it. And remind yourself, this is what my goal was. My goal was to memorize, you know, the book of Revelation. My goal was to get out of debt. My goal was to lose weight. Whatever it is, write it down. Goals should be written down. You should have them. And here's the thing. You start writing down goals and you start realizing a goal, you write down on a piece of paper, I want to lose weight. You'll start seeing how weak that is. But you start writing down, I want to lose 30 pounds in 3 months. That has structure to it. I want to memorize one chapter of the Bible every week. That has structure to it. I want to, invite someone to church. I want to win a soul to Christ this year. That's a good goal. You know, there's a difference between saying this. I want to be a soul winner versus I want to get someone saved this year. Does that make sense? Goals should be not only specific. They should have a time limit. They should be written down. Number four, goals should be measurable. Goals should be measurable. If your goal cannot be measured, it's not a goal. Sam, what are you talking about? Well, that has to do with writing it down. You can use charts. You can use calendars. You can use just a piece of paper. You can use a Word document. You can use whatever you want. But you ought to be able to write it down and then measure it. Watching yourself accomplish a goal is going to be the most encouraging part of finishing that goal. And by the way, watching yourself accomplish a goal, it's called, here's what the business world calls it, traction. Traction. You know what traction is? Traction is the friction of drawing or pulling an object on the road. When you have a vehicle and you got tires on the road and you begin to move that vehicle and those tires are rubbing up against the road, that's called traction. You understand what I'm saying? You know what the opposite of traction is? Spinning your wheels. You know what I'm saying? You ever had tennis shoes, like running shoes, and they lost their traction before they would kind of hit that ground, and as you were running, they would kind of grab the ground, you had traction there, but after they got smooth, you just kind of lost that traction, spin, tires will get bald, and they'll lose that traction. You know, in your goals, you've got to have this way to measure, and realize that you're making contact, you're making traction, you're not just spinning your wheels and getting nowhere. Does that make sense? You've got to have a way to, you know, I like to use weight loss as an example because it's just a perfect example of something that so many people want to do. But, you know, you've got to be able to calculate that. So you say, I want to lose 30 pounds in 3 months. So you start doing the math. That's 10 pounds a month. You can start, you know, you get on the scale. And you see, you know, my starting weight. Next, you know, 1 week later, or every day, or however you want to do it, you're on the scale. And you're starting to be able to see, and as you see that number go down, and you keep track of that number, and you start seeing it go down, and maybe you see it go up a little bit, and you start making adjustments, okay? That, you start getting that traction, you start getting that goal. You're no longer just spinning your wheels in life, you're actually accomplishing something. You must be able to measure them. So if you write down a goal, and you think, there's no way for me to measure this goal, it's not a good goal. Here's a perfect example. I used to have this, you know, I've heard people have goals like this before. My goal for the new year is to be a better father. Now look, that's a great vision. To be a better father? But that's not a good goal. You say why? Number one, it's not very specific. Number two, there's no time limit. Number three, there's no way to measure that. How do I measure being a good father? Can you explain that to me? There's no way to measure that. Well, I'm going to take a survey of my son every day and I'm going to ask him, am I a good father? That doesn't work. So being a good father, hey, that's a great vision, but let's take that vision and turn that into a mission. How do we accomplish that mission? We set goals. So how do we set that goal? So a better goal would not be, I'm going to be a good father. A better goal would be, I'm going to read the Bible with my children every day. Does that make sense? A good vision is, I'm going to be a better father. A better goal would be, I'm going to spend time with my kids one-on-one every day. I'm going to read the Bible with my kids every day. I'm going to pray with my kids every day. Maybe it would be, I'm going to take my kids out to the park once a week. Maybe, you know, a goal would be something you can measure, you can track, it's specific, you got a time frame. It's easy to say, I'm going to be a better mother. That's general. But you can set specific, time-sensitive, measurable goals to accomplish that vision. So my goal is not to be a better pastor. My goal is to read more of my Bible. My goal is not to be a better pastor. My goal is to memorize more of my Bible. My goal is not to be a better pastor. My goal, you know, my goal is not to be a better preacher. It's maybe to spend more time developing my sermon. Do you understand what I'm trying? I'm trying to explain to you something that people just do not understand. You must have specific, measurable goals, things you can measure, things you can chart. And I love charts. I love charts. I love checklists. That's just me. I'm a nerd, I guess. But I love to be able to just look at something and say, bam, done. You can say, I want to be a better husband to my wife. Or you could say, I'm going to do a weekly date with my wife. I'm going to do something kind for my wife every day. Or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? Are you starting to understand how goals work? Traction. Traction allows you to realize you're not just spinning your wheels. And by the way, traction allows you to see when you start failing at goals. Okay? If you don't have that traction, you know, you start at 260 pounds. And you say, my goal for the next 3 months is to lose 30 pounds. But then you never measure it. You never, at 3 months, you go back on the scale. You're like, wow, I'm 270. What happened? Well, here's what happened. You never measured. You never took time to chart it. You understand what I'm saying? Here's what happens. You say, I'm going to read the New Testament in the month of January. And then January 31st comes up and you're still in Matthew chapter 3 and you're like, what happened? Here's what happened. You never measured. You never saw that traction. Number five, goals should not take shortcuts. Goals should not take shortcuts. A goal, the purpose spiritually of a goal is to make you a better person. Jesus and John the Baptist increased, they grew every day. Let me give you the breakout. And again, I'm only using the example of losing weight because it's very something we can get our heads around. Let me give you an example. There was, when my wife and I used to go to a church before I joined the military, and New Year's came along, and there was this lady who was, she wasn't really even, I mean, you know, she wasn't really overweight or anything like that, but she had a goal, she wanted to lose weight. At the same time, same church, my wife and I just happened to know of another lady who had the same goal. One lady went out and she actually started selling this thing, there's like these pills, and you would take the pill and you drink water, and when the water hit the pill, they become like a sponge, and they become like a sponge in your stomach, and it fill your stomach and cause you to not eat. And I mean, this lady, she started taking these pills, she lost weight like that. I mean, like within a week, she was just like super skinny. And then this lady started selling these pills to all these women, and all these women in the church, it became like this huge fad. I mean, we thought it was kind of funny because we're like, man, everybody's just on these pills in this church. Everybody's, you know. But this one lady that we knew of, she didn't tell, you know, we kind of just knew or whatever because we kind of knew her personally. I don't remember how we knew. But she didn't really tell anybody. She just decided she was doing Weight Watchers. And I'm not, you know, this sermon is brought to you by Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers is a very good program as far as I know because there's nothing special about it. It's just eating healthy and, you know, feeling great or whatever. But she started doing Weight Watchers. Now look, this one lady, we did not see results as fast as this other lady. But you know what we realized? After like a year and a half, here's what happened. The one lady who lost weight in like 2 weeks gained it all back. Because eventually her body got used to the pills and it stopped. They stopped working. Gained it all back. All these women like, oh, it's all this weight. Gained it all back within a year. This other lady, that was like 7 years ago to today. I've known her for years. She'd always been kind of just bigger. from that time when she started that program till today, like 7 years later, still very healthy, still very skinny, still very... You say, what happened? Here's what happened. If you take a shortcut, you know, and this is an example because it's easy to understand. This woman took a... You know, we saw a picture of this other lady, and she actually was bigger than when she started the thing. And you say, well, what happened? Here's what happened, okay? They took a shortcut to their goal, and here's what happened. When you take shortcuts, okay, you understand this? Losing weight without changing your behavior does nothing for you. Do you understand that? If you lose a lot of weight, but you don't discipline yourself, you don't, you know, change your actual behavior, you don't start, you know, eating healthy and exercising, you cannot maintain that for the rest of your life. This woman has kept it off. Here's why. Because she actually disciplined her life, changed her eating habits, changed her workout routine, actually changed her life, and it has produced the goal, listen to me, the goal produced a change for a lifetime. Because she did not take a shortcut. Let me give you another example. There could be people who say, my goal is to get out of debt. Now here's what the average person will do. I'm going to get a debt consolidation loan. And I'm going to go and get this debt consolidation loan. And I'm going to throw in my two vehicle loans and my student loan and my 6 credit cards and all my loans. I'm going to put them together. They're going to consolidate them for me. And we're going to pay it all off and we're going to be done. And then there'll be this other person who's saying, I'm going to save money, I'm going to budget, I'm going to work hard at it, and I'm going to pay down my debt. This person, I promise you, this person will pay their debt down faster than this person. But read the studies. Statistically, this person will get out of debt with that loan consolidation, and guess what will happen a few years later? They're back in debt. They bought another car, they got another credit card, they got another... Same with bankruptcies. People file bankruptcy, a few years later, they're in debt. Look at the statistics of people who win the lottery. People win the lottery, they get all this money, we got all this money, we're taken care of. And by and large, people who win the lottery, years after they, you know, if you study their lives and you study the statistics and all the stories that, you know, that the newspapers put out, those people are in debt. They're on drugs. You say, what happened? Here's what happened. Their character never changed. They got a bunch of debt, and then they got debt to pay the debt. They never learned to discipline their lives, to budget, to look at their money, flow of money coming in, minus flow of money coming out, to realize, no, I can't go out to that restaurant today. No, I can't go out and buy that nice thing that I really want right now. I really want it, but when you start taking, you take shortcuts, it'll look good on paper. Check. But if you never change your behavior, you're just going to go back. It's like the Bible talks about the man who had the spirit, and the spirit left him, and then when the spirit came back, what happened? Came back with 7 of his friends, and the end of the man was worse than the beginning. Say, why is that? Because goals are, the purpose of a goal is this, to develop your character, to develop your discipline. And so you say, well, Pastor, should I get a loan to get out of debt? No. Budget. Save money. Work hard. Do it out of character, and when you've done it out of character, guess what? You'll stay out of debt. When you paid off a loan, then you realize, oh, I really want that car. I'm going to save for that car. But when you never change those behaviors, the purpose of goals is to develop you as a person. It's actually less about getting out of debt and more about developing your character. It's actually less about, you know, losing weight and more about developing your character. It's actually less about being a good father and more about developing your character. That's what a goal is for. Number 6. Goals that are accomplished should be rewarded. Goals that are accomplished should be rewarded. When you set a goal and you accomplish, you ought to reward your goal. Let me give you some advice. Habits or things that are rewarded are always done again. Does that make sense? If I tell my kids to clean their room, and then you reward their obedience, they'll obey again. God does that. God blesses you. And you know, so if you give yourself, now be very wise, you know, if your goal was to get out of debt, it took you 5 years to get out of debt, your reward ought not be, you know, a rewards. You know what I'm talking about? Reward yourself. Reward your goals. In moderation, but do it. Let me give you an example of a properly set goal. Here's a perfect example of a properly set goal. Read the New Testament, 9 chapters a day, in the month of January. Let me show you how that goal fits all these characteristics. We said, first of all, that a goal needed to be specific. Is that specific? Read your Bible, 9 chapters a day in the month of January. It's more specific than just read your Bible, right? Goals should have a time limit. Does that have a time limit? You start in the month of January, you end in the month of January. Goals should be written down. Is that written down? I sure hope you got one of these. It's written down. Is a goal measurable? You can measure it right here. Day 1, I'm on track. Day 2, check. Day 3, check. Day 4, there's no check. Oh, what happened? I can start seeing my traction or my lack of traction. You see that? Goals should be measurable. Number 5, goals should not take shortcuts. Goals should not take shortcuts. So how do you take a shortcut? I don't know. You shouldn't, I'm going to listen to the Bible while I sleep. Don't do that. You know, read your Bible. You can listen to it if you're paying attention. You know, I'm gonna just play the CD of the New Testament while I'm sleeping and I'll read my 9 chapters a day. No. Read your Bible. Develop that character. Goals should be rewarded. You say, how are you rewarding this goal? We're going to put your name on a nice plaque up there. And every time you walk into church, you're going to be looking at that plaque and saying, man, I read 9 chapters a day in the month of January. That's a good reward. That's nice. You know, by the way, you should read your Bible 9 times a day in the month of January. That's a good goal. You say, Pastor, I don't know what goals to set for the new year. Why don't you read your Bible? That's a good one. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to look at two verses and we're done. Ephesians chapter number 4, look at verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. The Bible says this. Ephesians 4:13. Look what it says. Ephesians 4:13. One of my favorite verses. It says this. Till we come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of his stature of the fullness of Christ. The Bible says, till we come, or until we come to what? Well, until we come to the unity of the faith. Until we come to the knowledge of faith of the Son of God. Until we come to a perfect man or a complete man. Until we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Bible teaches that in our Christian life, we ought to be trying to better ourselves. Paul is giving the Ephesians there some goals. He's saying, here's where I want you to come. I want you to continue to do this until you come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of Christ. We ought to be accomplishing and bettering ourselves every day. Go with me to Proverbs 13. Look at verse 19. This is the last verse we'll look at. Proverbs 13. Look at verse 19. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 13, 19. Proverbs 13, 19. Look what it says. Proverbs 13, 19. The Bible says this. The desire... That's another word there for a vision. The desire accomplished, look what it says, is sweet to the soul. But it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. The Bible says the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. You know when you have a desire and you accomplish that, that's going to be sweet. That's going to be encouraging to your soul. Say, Pastor, I don't really like this type of sermon, you know. Well, look, I'm just trying to show you I can have some sweetness to your soul. Add some sweetness to your soul. How? Accomplish your desires. Look, you know, I know we preach against prosperity preaching and I take a stand against prosperity preaching and God doesn't necessarily, you know, this idea that God wants to make you rich and all that, but let me tell you something. God does want you to live a good life. God loves you. God wants you to accomplish. The Bible says, you know, that God wants you to accomplish the desire. The Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself, I'm misquoting that verse, but with wisdom. God wants you to live a life that's fulfilled. I honestly believe that. Look, I'm telling you the honest truth, and I'm not a Pentecostal name it and claim it preacher. I don't believe God wants Christians living their life broke. I don't. And by the way, I'm not living my life broke. You say, well, why? Because you're rich. I'm not rich. I budget. I've got goals. I've got plans. I've got a vision for my family. be for the rest of my life. I want to have money in the bank. I want to be able to. I want to be able to you know send my wife to a nice vacation. You know, not send her, but go with her. You know, I want to be able to leave an inheritance for my. I've got goals and I've got plans, and I'm not just daydreaming about it either. I'm not just laying in bed thinking, oh, it sure be nice to be able to give an inheritance to my kids. I'm writing those goals down, and I'm putting it. I'm saying I've got a vision. I've got a goal. Step one, I'm going to do this. Step two, I'm going to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, why is it that some people live their lives just paycheck to paycheck, just always struggling, and some people just are doing good financially? Here's why. Some people have goals. When I was in the military, I was a senior airman, an E-4. That's a rank. When you're an airman, you're just a worker. The next rank was a sergeant, a staff sergeant. And as an E-4, and I'm not saying this to boast or brag, I want you to understand them. As an E-4, with a wife who did not work an outside job, she worked hard with the kids, and we did that on purpose. We did that because we believe that's what God wanted to do. With a wife on one income, listen to me, on one income as a senior airman, I had staff sergeants who were married to staff sergeants. You know what that means? That means they were making more money than I was making, and their wife was making more money than I was making, and they were asking me, how do you make it financially? I can't even pay my bills. We just don't have enough money. I'm thinking to myself, you make more money than I do. Your wife makes more money than I do. You guys have two pensions. I'm a senior airman. I got two kids. No kids. Husband and wife. No kids. I'm thinking, how do you not make it? Here's why. No goal. No direction. They have all this money coming in and they have no plan for it. They're just wasting it. Beer, partying, out, you know, just whatever. Just, oh, let's go out to eat here. Let's go out to eat there. And they'd be amazed. How do you make it through life? On that, we have a goal. That's somewhere we're trying to go. Something we're trying to accomplish. Get a goal in your life. Don't just walk through life mindlessly, you know. Just, I believe God wants you to be healthy. I believe God wants you to be financially stable. I believe God wants you to be spiritual. I believe all those things. But let me tell you something. Just listen to me very carefully. The secret to highly effective people is that they are goal-oriented. Get a plan for your year. And I promise you, if you set proper goals, you develop some character, you stick with it, you measure it, and you finish it, I promise you, you'll finish this year. Here's how you'll finish it. Satisfied. Thinking, wow, this was a good year. Man, this year... I lost 50 pounds. This year, I got out of debt. This was the best year in my marriage. This is the best year of my children. But see, you will never do that if you go into the year, I want this to be the best year of my children's lives. I want this to be the best year of my marriage. That will never happen. But you start setting some proper goals, you'll get there. I promise you, you'll get there. Develop some character, do it. Proverbs 13:19. Let's hear it one more time. We'll be done. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. I want you to accomplish your desires. But you got to do it. Take your vision. Turn it into a mission. Accomplish your mission through properly set goals. Let's bow our heads in that word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray that the people that are here would take the sermon. And they would take it, Father, for what it is. Just trying to help. Lord, I believe you want us to live successful. I honestly do. Now, I don't believe that you want us to live successful and you're going to bless our laziness. I don't believe you want us to live successful and you're going to bless our slothfulness. I don't believe you want us to live successful and you're going to just give us whatever we want. I believe you want us to work for it, but I believe you want to give it to us. And I pray you'd help everyone here to have goals, desires, and then develop the character. Lord, help me to develop the character to accomplish those goals. To get those goals done. I pray everyone would take time today to say, where do I see myself in 1 year? What's my vision? And how am I going to get there? The mission. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen.